Now, a day of mourning is underway in Ukraine after one of the worst waves of Russian missile strikes in months. At least 41 people were killed and 166 were injured. The main children's hospital in the capital, Kyiv, was among the buildings hit in cities across the country. Two adults died there when a missile flattened part of it. A search for survivors beneath the rubble continued into the early hours of this morning. 39 others died in attacks on Dnipro, Kryvyi Rih, Slovyansk and Kramatorsk. This man spoke about how his wife and son had a narrow escape in the children's hospital.
My wife has come here. She drove here. Then it all started. My son began crying, so she did not go to the hospital. She ran to the bomb shelter instead. Then there was the explosion. The car is no more. But we are all okay. There was not enough time for the baby to get scared. But you see what's going on here. No words, even swear words, can describe it. But what matters most is that they are alive.
Well, we're joined now from Kyiv by the BBC's Ukraine correspondent, James Waterhouse. James, thanks for taking our call. The Taoiseach here, the Prime Minister, described the attack on the children's hospital as a war crime, openly targeting civilian infrastructure and innocent children. Has anything emerged to contradict that this was a deliberate attack on the hospital?
Look, I think there is overwhelming evidence that Russia has targeted residential areas throughout its full-scale invasion. But as ever, when you see the sight of Russian cruise missiles descend on cities like Kyiv, these are missiles that are very accurate. And so we never can be sure of the military dimension, and Kyiv is a place where there are military targets. But at best for Moscow, the death of civilians, and in this case, child patients, is seen as an acceptable level of collateral damage. It's not clear whether the hospital was directly targeted, but it bore the brunt of the impact. It was heavily damaged. And as you articulate, every now and then in this war, you have a site which cuts through the kind of brutal rhythm of Russia's invasion. And this was one of those occasions where you had children being treated for cancer, already in a fight for their own lives. You had children there. It's a place where they go for organ transfers. Separately to Kyiv, a maternity unit in the eastern city of Dnipro was hit in this wide-ranging attack. So we can never be sure of the motives. The Kremlin always denies deliberately targeting residential areas. It has done in this case, but this was an especially devastating attack. I'm looking at a flag above the foreign ministry, which is at half-mast. But there's also a sense of political opportunism here ahead of a planned NATO summit. And what Ukraine is hoping is that its allies saw what happened yesterday and might just want to step up in their help for Ukraine. It's a dark day in a still defiant city.
James, stay with us. I want to play that clip of the Taoiseach here, Simon Harris, talking about the attack in Ukraine.
What we saw happen in Ukraine yesterday with the deliberate, horrific targeting of a children's hospital is clearly a war crime. It's clearly an act of brutality on a despicable scale. And it's really important that just because the war in Ukraine is going on a long time, that we don't in any way, shape or form allow Putin's brutality and illegality become in any way normalised. I think there's an onus on every country to continue to speak up, speak out and call it out.
James Waterhouse is still in Kyiv for us this morning. Why now? Why on the eve of a NATO summit? Is there a link between the two, James?
There's connections are often attempted when Russia carries out these acts. In some cases, it may well be, then they may well be related, but we can never know for sure. Kyiv has squarely accused Russia of trying to, in its words, intimidate the world ahead of this summit, where future aid, military aid for Ukraine will be discussed, notably air defence systems, but also Ukraine's own membership ambitions. I don't think we're going to see NATO backtrack on that, but frustratingly for Kyiv, we're also not going to get a timeline of when Ukraine could join. And the reason for that is because of Russia's continued invasion, and the Kremlin full well knows it. But these strikes do little to nothing in terms of battlefield dynamics, in terms of how they influence them. But what they do is, yes, they do have a slight military dimension, perhaps. they also do target Ukraine's infrastructure, but they mainly are designed to terrorize the population, to lessen their appetite to fight. And in cities like Kyiv, you know, people were singing the national anthem as they were giving out water and clearing from the rubble. That defiance is still there, but such as this attritional war, the fight may well fall out of their control as Russia continues to exert its dominance along the front lines a few hundred miles from here.
Yeah. Does it not have an adequate missile defence system?
I think there are big question marks. You know, President Zelensky is now, in a political sense, screaming for these air defence systems, notably these Patriot systems, American-made. They are seen as some of the, you know, the few pieces of kit that can intercept a Russian cruise missile, which when it flies at the speed and height that it does. And, you know, seven were launched at Kyiv yesterday and more than half got through. This is a city that had got used to the vast majority being intercepted. But, you know, in some areas, there's footage of up to three missiles descending on one target. And that will be very concerning for the capital city of Ukraine. And Russia has been able to retain a sizable missile stockpile. And so if that is happening, that directly impairs Ukraine's ability to fight this war and convince people that this war is still worth fighting as Russian missiles continue to rain down.
James, great to have you on the programme again. Thank you very much indeed. The BBC's Ukraine correspondent, James Waterhouse.